بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. وعن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما أن رجلا سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أي الإسلام خير؟ قال: تطعم الطعام وتقرأ السلام على من عرفت ومن لم تعرف. متفق عليه. This hadith, we discussed most of it yesterday. Just to complete the discussion, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma narrates that a person came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we mentioned, these questions Sahaba Ikram would put to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The object and motivation was not just the increasing of knowledge, but they implemented whatever advice was given to them by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, ulama say, فَعَلُوهُ وَتَسَابَقُوا إِلَيْهِ. Not only did they implement it, but they would compete with one another to bring these things into their life. Unfortunately, to a very large extent, nowadays we hear the aspects of deen, but that genuine determination in advance to implement what we are hearing, that unfortunately to a large extent is lacking in us. So this is very, very important. These, particularly when these questions were put to Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, advice that he gave, this is for the entire ummah, and we should try and implement and bring these things in our life. Ayul Islami khair, which action is the best, or the pinnacle of Islam, or the most virtuous actions in Islam? Here also we discussed yesterday that different answers based on differing circumstances, occasions. Sometimes the questioner had a particular deficiency or weakness in some aspect. So we find that although the question would be similar, the response Rasulullah ﷺ gives would differ on various occasions. On this occasion, قَالَ تُطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ, he said, feeding people, developing what we call sakhawat and generosity. Overriding principle when it comes to these aspects, khayrun nas may yanfa'un nas. Who is the best person? The question is asked, ayyul islami khayr. What is the height of Islam? What is the best action in Islam? And we've mentioned this many, many times. Unfortunately, many of us have this concept or idea, pinnacle of piety and taqwa. We tend to restrict it to acts of what we call ibadat and worship, salah, zakat, fasting, hajj, zikr, tilawat, etc. But when we look in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a different picture comes out. Emphasis to a very large extent is placed on one's conduct with one's fellow human being. Are you a source of benefit? Are you a source of comfort to those whom you come into contact with? Is there this quality of what we call hamdardi, empathy, compassion, concern for those that are around you? Far greater emphasis we find in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this. Man at'ama akhahu hatta yushbi'ahu. وَسَقَاهُ مِنَ الْمَاءِ حَتَّى يُرْوِيَهُ بَعَدَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ جَهَنَّمْ سَبْعَ خَنَادِقْ مَا بَيْنَ كُلِّ خَنْدِقَيْنِ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. For example, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that person who feeds his brother who is hungry until he alleviates his hunger, or he gives him water to drink, who is thirsty, so that his thirst is alleviated, Allah will distance him from Jahannam 7 trenches. The distance between each trench is the distance between the heavens and the earth. Many, many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, exhortation, Quran, where as Muslims we cannot live an insulated life. We have to be alive and be conscious as to the plight of those that are around us. And primarily we have to be a source of benefit to them. خَيْرٌ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. This is the overriding principle. The best person amongst you is the one who is benefiting. These ahadith are general, not only يَنْفَعُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, benefiting Muslims, benefiting humanity. Be a source of benefit and comfort and ease, not duk and pain to everyone you come into contact with. So, Ayyul Islami Khair, who is the best Muslim? What are the best actions of Islam? Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tut'imu ta'am, feed people. In other words, alleviate poverty. Feeding Muslims. Feed non-Muslims if they are hungry also. Feed animals. A Muslim is someone who is, a woman gave water to a thirsty dog, prostitute, and Allah made her maghfirah. So these exhortations we find are very, very common in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not only exhortations, not only common, but development of one's taqwa, one's piety, one's connection with Allah Ta'ala is directly linked to this. So a Muslim is not insulated, sit in one corner of the masjid and make zikr the whole day and cut yourself off from everyone. Muslim is one who is alive and conscious as to the plight of those that are around him. تُطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ وَتَقْرَأُ السَّلَامُ عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفُ. Pertinent to the chapter that we are discussing, this is why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has mentioned this particular hadith, Babu Fadli Salam wal Amr bi Ifsha'ihi, the chapter which deals with the virtue of salam and the injunction to make salam common and to spread salam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, to make salam to those whom you recognize and those whom you don't recognize. So all the time you should be making salam. We dealt in great detail as to the meaning of salam and as to the words that we should use when making salam, etc. But generally, we find that these two things, feeding and greeting, this is the message of this hadith, that this is the pinnacle at the height of Islam. Feeding and greeting. Now if we look at this, what does feeding and greeting do? Ulama explained, they say both these actions eliminate enmity. They create love. They create unity. They bring the hearts of people closer to you. Feeding, greeting. And this is something our akabirin exhort on our jamaats also. When we are out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Or even in our local areas, in our masjids. We are always being given this encouragement. Feed others. Greet people. Smile. Give comfort to those whom you come into contact with. This is the essence of the da'wat and tabligh of Rasulullah. His akhlaq and character was like a magnet. People were immediately attracted to Rasulullah. In fact, he described a jannati. What is the quality of a jannati? Rasulullah described hayyin, layyin, person who is soft natured, easily approachable, always smiling. So we have to endeavor to develop this. And in fact, this is the development of Iman and Islam. Ayyul Islami Khair. What is the best? What is the height? Who is the perfect Muslim? What is the goal? Someone who is always feeding. Someone who is generous. Someone who is kind. Someone who is compassionate. Someone who is always smiling. Someone who is making salam. This is the message that comes across in such ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like I said, feeding and greeting. This eliminates enmity, creates love, it creates unity, etc. Wa Nabi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu anin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, lamma khalaq Allahu ta'ala Adam alayhi salam qal, idhhab fasallim ala ulaik, yani nafarin min al malaika julus, fastami' ma yuhayyunak, fa innaha tahiyyatuka wa tahiyyatu dhurriyyatik. فقال السلام عليكم فقالوا السلام عليك ورحمة الله فزادوه ورحمة الله متفق عليه. This hadith we touched on already in the introduction of this chapter. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and is the narrator. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, as we mentioned at that time, is the origin of salam. These words, assalamu alaykum, where do they come from? We learn from such ahadith that this is not just any ordinary greeting. This comes directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we learn that this was the practice of not only Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that preceded Nabiya Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was the practice of the Malaika also. So our greeting is not good morning and how are you. our greeting has its roots right in the origin of humanity. And these words also are not simple, ordinary words. They carry profound, very, very deep meaning. So we should have value for this salam that we are making. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam. In one riwayat it comes at that time, Adam alayhi salam sneezed and said, Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala responded, Yarhamukallah. So even this, what we call Tashmitul Atis, which is mentioned in the next hadith also, the answering of the sneeze, we find that this also, these words originated right from the beginning. So it's not just ordinary words, there is great dua in this also. But in any case, when Allah Ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala said to him, go, fasallim ala ula'ik, go and make salam to these people. Or to this makhluk. Who was Allah Ta'ala referring to? A group of malaika that were sitting. From this, one important lesson that we learn, nafarim min al malaikati julus, a group of malaika that were sitting. Some ideologies believe in the existence of angels, but they call them spirits. In other words, they are just ruh, they are spirits, they don't have a bodily shape or form. Islam teaches us that the malaika have a physical shape and form. They are not ajsam bila ruh. They are not bodies without souls. They have shape, they have form. In fact, we find in ahadith, Jibreel alayhi salam sometimes would come in the shape of Dahiya Kalbi, a handsome sahabi to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sometimes in some other shape. We find famous hadith of Jibreel, Rajulun yura, la yura alayhi atharu safar, is mentioned. Very, very sahih, authentic hadith. Sahaba was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, somebody came. Immediately, they realized that this is a stranger. His very appearance, Allah Ta'ala made it such at that time, his appearance was in such a way to draw attention. For example, لا يرى عليه أثر السفر شديد سواد الشعر شديد بياض الثياب. His clothes were absolutely white. His hair was, the beard of his hair, the hair on his head was shining black. Now somebody, no one could recognize him. So it means he's a traveler. He's not from Medina. He's come from outside. Somebody who's traveling in the desert, what would you expect? His clothes would be full of dust. The signs and athar of travel will be on him. Yet this person approaches a huge gathering of sahaba. Approaches in a manner, like I said, to draw attention. What was it? First of all, there's no sign of journey on him. His clothes are absolutely clean. Hair shining black. And then approaches Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a manner that sahaba wouldn't approach. Walks right up to him, sits. And then sits in tashahud in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that his knees are touching the knee of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all this was to draw attention. Obviously we're not discussing that hadith, in that he asked the basic tenets of Islam. But after that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who revealed, who was this person? He said, there was Jibreel alayhi salam. So he came in a human shape or form on that occasion. Every sahabi saw him, those that were present. So from this we learn one important lesson, that the malaika are not just spirits. The malaika of Allah Ta'ala, the angels have a physical shape and form. In fact, Quran tells us, جَعِلِ الْمَلَائِكَ رُسُلًا أُلِي أَجْنِحَةِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ. They have wings. Some two, some three, some four. We find in the riwayat of Qurtubi, Jibreel alayhi salam says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِسِتُ مِعَةِ جَنَاحِ. Jibreel alayhi salam had 600 wings. In that riwayat he mentions, Israfil alayhi salam, 600 wings. So the point that a makhluk that is sitting already tells you they have a physical shape and form. So there was a group of malaika that were sitting. Allah Ta'ala pointed to them and Allah Ta'ala instructed Adam alayhi salam to go and sallim ala ulai, go and greet this group. Nafarim min al malaika julus. Obviously the question now arises, we've run out of time, inshallah, we'll continue that. If they have a physical shape or form, how is it we don't see them? Allah Ta'ala has placed a parda. Allah has placed a veil. Allah has concealed them from us. In the same way that the jinnat are concealed.